So, from your fire there, and then how long did it take you after your fire to look for another job?
Well, my mother would always want a little rest in between jobs, but I think, seems to me like within a couple of weeks I had applied at North American and I went to work there. Because I was hired right away.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember where you, was that the same thing where you learned about it in the Times or, you know?
No, I think this was somebody had told me, you know, there were, you know, the aircrafts were hiring. And I think somebody told me, said, well, North American is hiring, and they're hiring women. And that was easier to get to by me having to ride the streetcar. That was easier to get to. Mm-hmm. Although I didn't have to ride the streetcar there because when I went to work there, I met people who had a car. And so there was a carpool I rode with. Girl, she had a carpool. Mm-hmm. And she'd pick us up. She'd pick me up like... She would go south on Avalon, and I lived between Avalon and the next street, so I'd just go down to the corner and stand there and wait. And she'd go to Imperial and turn on Imperial. So that was the closest. There still was a way of riding a streetcar then. Mm-hmm. But I never really had to.
Mm-hmm. So you, when you went to apply there, did you go right down to the plant itself, or was there another place?
No, we went to the plant itself. We went there on Imperial. They had offices there and everything. Mm-hmm. And,
were you with some friends or something like that?
I'm trying to think. Did I go with someone? No, I think I went alone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, met other girls there who were applying because I think there were about... Oh, they hired seemingly about 5 or 6 women that day that I went.
Uh-huh.
And we did everything in the one day. We filled out the application. We were interviewed. We were examined by the doctor. And then all ready to go to work. But what they made us do, all the women that had had babies, they made us buy a trust. Said we had umbilical hernias. They must have had it in for some company downtown. So I'll never forget, I don't know if it was the next day or that same day, I went down and was fitted for this truss.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have to get the truss until after we'd made our first payday. And then when I brought it home, I wasn't going to wear it because I didn't believe I had one. I thought that was just a gimmick. Uh-huh. And I put it up on the shelf and I never saw it no more. I don't know whatever happened to it. But anyway, we had to buy it.
Now... When you said you were examined by a doctor, what all did that consist of?
I think it was just blood pressure and listening to the heart and, you know, not a real thorough physical.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, he went over the body, and that's when he said, oh, you got, you know, he had on record that you had a child. You have an umbilical hernia, get a truss.
So then
the fact that you went down there and came back and showed your receipt, that you had been measured for one, you could go to work. So, you know, even in those days, they were playing games.
Yeah. With the women that you applied with, were they mostly white women or?
I can't remember. I can't remember. I think it was both.
Mm-hmm. And, so they knew that you had experience working?
Yes. Uh-huh. Either that came out in the interview or on the application or something like that because I was put in the sheet metal department.
Did you have any sense of, like, some of their attitudes at that point about hiring? I mean, were they, did they seem real anxious to get people? Or?
He could see I was blind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was hired just right along with the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where the differences came in was up in the department.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Swedish guy, they call him Sweet. He was one of the lead men or foreman or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to give all the best work to the white ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And then when, by the time we'd get there, there weren't many stools, so you had to stand and work. Mm-hmm. So if anybody moved, this girl, Johnny Mae, she and I became very good friends. Mm-hmm. And we grabbed stools. She was in the sheet metal department, too. And we told him one time, you know, don't give us all the dirty work. The dirty work was, like, we made gas tanks. And what was a real nice job of riveting. They had a machine there. You put your rivet in, you stick it in, and you stamp it. Mm-hmm. And it's flattened. Then, you know, the next one, we on down and we sent them over to welding for them to weld the sides together. Well, when they came back from welding, they had to be filed down. That was dirty work. Mm-hmm. And we didn't like the dirty work, but it seemed like we were always getting it. Mm-hmm. So we objected, you know, and he gave us some of the nicer jobs, and we made all types of tanks.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you went to work there, so that was in about...
I started to say September, but it could have been August.
So you came back down from Sacramento, you think it around August?
I might have went there October. I worked, let's see, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. That's about right. Mm-hmm. That's about right.
So around October.
A month, give it month, right around that time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so in the fall of
42. Uh-huh.
Now, you'd be interviewed and everything in one day, and then they tell you, like, to come back the next day and start working then, or?
I don't know when it was the next day, because I'm trying to think. Seems to me like when I left there, I kept on the streetcar downtown. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, and got measured for this thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't even remember what day of the week. Seems to me like I started to work right away. Uh-huh. As soon as I got that, then I was able to go to work.
Uh-huh. And what shift were you on?
I was on the day shift then. Uh-huh. I worked days.
Who did they have you, they hired you right into sheet metal?
Yes, I'm in the sheet metal department making tanks.
Uh-huh. And who did you report to there? Did they?
Swede.
To the farm, to their lead guy?
Yeah.
And how many women would there be, or how many people were working under Swede?
I don't know. Just like there was a section that went down. See, this whole big, huge hangar, or whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
And then our section was right down here. And, like, there were benches. And let's see.
Just on, like, the first floor of the...
No, it seems to me like we had to go upstairs. We were kind of upstairs. And there was an aisle that ran down the middle of the building. Then we were kind of back like this from the aisle.
Off to the side
then? Uh-huh. It seems like there were about two or three women at each place. And maybe about five or six. Maybe about 20 women.
Mm-hmm. And the people you worked with were all women?
Seems to me. I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
Mostly women.
Mm-hmm. And did they were all doing the same kind of shit?
Yeah, uh-huh, different phases of it.
Were you and your friend the only black women working
in that particular section?
Uh-huh. There were other black women working in resin
making? Yeah, there were some over in welding, because I think the girl I rode with, she was in welding. Mm-hmm. And then they were scattered throughout. Mm-hmm. Because when you were coming out, you know, like in, it was just like a herd of cattle when you were coming out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a mixture. Of course, there were less blacks than there were white.
Mm-hmm. But it seemed to you that they were pretty much, they didn't just segregate black workers into one area?
Or? No. They were mixed, because it seems to me like one time we went to another section and there were some women working on the plane itself.
Mm-hmm. Could you sort of describe to me what it would be like to go, say, to an average day of work at North American at that time? Like what you would do, say, from the time you got
up
in the morning?
We'd come in and first of all, we'd try to grab a stool so we could sit. Uh-huh. And this friend and I, we work together, and we just talk and work, you know. Uh-huh. But not loud conversation or anything like that, but we always admired ourselves, you know. We were always told to tie up our hair, and like I said, we tied up, but we'd leave a little hair, a little bang out, you know. We always made sure that we were dressed very clean, you know. We didn't want to look like the rest of them old raggedy pants or anything.
Uh-huh.
And
had you ever worn pants before?
Yeah, when I was in high school, after we would come home from school, we put on our little pants. Uh-huh. You know, wear them, but we weren't allowed to wear them in school. We weren't allowed to wear any place, just for recreation.
Uh-huh.
So we thought we looked good. You know, I had a little 20 waistline and so forth, you know. We thought we really looked good. As a matter of fact, we took some pictures, and our pictures, we took the backs of us, not the front, because we thought we looked too cute in our pants. And,
are these just pictures you had friends taking you or something working there?
No, this was at home. We'd come home one day, and we decided to take a picture of ourselves, because we made sure that we didn't get too dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what did we do for lunch? I can't remember, because I don't think we brought our lunch. I know they had these big women that went around in the restroom, and they washed. If you stayed in the toilet too long, they'd bang on the door to come out, because some people would go in there and sleep.
Uh-huh.
I never did. I never wanted to sleep.
So yeah. They had, like, matrons in the restrooms?
Yeah, like a jail or something. Well, they wouldn't be in there all the time, but they'd come through, you know, and kind of keep an eye out. And whatever we did for lunch, then we went back and we worked. And it was always fun coming home, you know, after a day's work. It was just, it was kind of fun.
Did you ever read a little company newspaper? I think it's a Skywriter.
I don't even know if they had it. I wasn't even interested. I was only interested in that paycheck. Every week. We got paid every week.
Do you remember roughly what you were getting paid in?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Uh-huh.
It was good money, at least good for me, being that young, because I gave my mother $10 a week, and $10 you could really do something with at that time. I paid the girl for riding. And advantage of working in defense, you could always get a stamp for shoes. But see, everything was rationed then. You could get extra stamps. So I always had a new pair of shoes. I think I bought a pair of shoes every week. I still had money left, and I saved. So it just seemed like money was good.
Uh-huh.
Whatever I made, I was able to do a lot with it.
Uh-huh. What were your plans for you?
Well, nothing more than, well, I had ideas of getting married, but everybody I met, my mother objected to, and I was so sensitive to her till, you know, one time I could have married. Let's see, was I working in defense then? By that time, the guys were all in the service, and there were guys from the east and from the south, and we'd meet them, you know, and go out with them and have a lot of fun. We met some real nice guys, but she just didn't like the idea of a serviceman. And I had met one guy, he was a little older than I, and he was from Idaho, and he wanted me to marry him and go back there, and I really wanted to. I really did like that guy. But my mother wouldn't say anything to me. She'd say it to my sister, and then it would get back to me. And she says, a soldier? You know, as if they were some kind of animals or something, you know. So she really, so I said, well, and then, when I was working, I wanted to move. I wanted to get my own place, because my friend Johnny Mae, she had a place. I thought it was cute, and I went over there every chance I got, you know. Just the idea that she lived alone and she could do as she pleased. But my mother objected. One thing, my son, he was going to the hospital. He had hernias. He had scrotal hernia. Then they were trying to determine at the time whether he was a blue baby. He never was blue or anything. They finally determined when he was about 6 or 7 years old that he had a duct that was malformed. Mm-hmm. And that's what caused his heart to, when you listen to it, it murmured. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, she was always saying, well, who would keep the baby? You know, they just objected. And then my father, when he would get drunk, then he'd always remind me, don't bring any boys here. Don't bring any men here. Don't bring any men here. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, hell, I'll meet him on the street. Mother says, no, don't do that. We'd have a big row. You know, it was row, one row after another. And then what I do, like I said, I sneak off, you know. And then sometimes I come home in the mornings and, you know, we'd just be partying. And come home in the mornings and get in my robe like I had just gotten up early, you know. But they would, you know, they just felt like I should have been dedicated to working in my child, which I was. I was real crazy about my child. But I just couldn't stand that parental guidance or whatever you wanted to call it. I wanted to be to myself.
So how are you planning planning was to maybe get a place with Johnny
Mae? No, I wasn't going to. I wanted a place all my own.
Oh, completely
yeah,
by myself.
Yeah, completely by myself, you know, where I could really. And I don't know what they thought I was going to do, but I just wanted a place of my own where my friends could come by and not have to look at all my sisters and brothers and, you know, and be subjected to my mother's questions and so forth, you know, because she always had something to say about my friends, you know. Mm-hmm. My best girlfriend in school, she felt like, oh, well, she wasn't up to standard, you know, her standard, what she thought, you know. Mm-hmm. And I really ignored her as far as that was concerned. Mm-hmm. And then my younger sister used to sit in on all my dates. Then here was the sister next to me. She was kind of still in that tomboy stage. So if my friend came to see me, she'd get a knife and chase him around the dining room table. Oh, she'd be playing. Uh-huh. And she'd chase him. She'd want to play. So next time he came, he bought a friend for her, and she chased him. Oh, she just had a ball, you know, couldn't do nothing. That's what I meant, that I wanted a place to myself where, you know, that I wouldn't necessarily have to be bothered with sisters and brothers.
Mm-hmm. Did, when you were working at the plant, did they have any special services, like banking or
I don't
shopping
know.
Services or anything like that?
I don't know, because see, maybe other women needed that, but I didn't. I was home with Mother, and I didn't participate in anything extra on the job, if there was anything, because I had to come home and take care of my baby.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't, you know, I couldn't have gotten involved in anything like that.
Okay. Was there a union?
I don't know. I think there was. Seems to me like, well, you know, I was young, and like I said, the money was good. I don't even remember what they took out of my check.
Uh-huh. How did you feel about, like the people you worked with? Did you get to know them at all?
Oh, Johnny, me and I were kind of clannish.
Uh-huh.
We talked to the other ladies. You know, we weren't that clannish where we didn't talk to anybody else, mm-hmm. and there was no hard feelings because the ladies, we got the stools first. They didn't say anything. They just kind of gave us looks, you know. And if they got them first, well, then they got looks from us. But there was never any open hostility, you know, because it was just a matter of first come, first serve, you know.
Yeah. So you never got any attitude off of them?
Not really. The only time there was anything of an attitude, and then I don't think it was so much racist. It was just that we just got into it. That's how I got fired. I got in a fight with a white girl.
Uh-huh.
But it was just, you know, I was kind of cocky, you know. And I had gone to, well, I was trying to save for my friends. So the time clocked real fast. So I put mine down slow, and she just snatched it out and put hers in. You know, I was trying to hold it for my friend. I said, bitch, don't you ever do that again. You know. Mm-hmm. And by that time, we were all going out and all this crowd, you know. Mm-hmm. She says, don't call me a bitch. I said, you son of a bitch. She turned around and she swung, and I grabbed her, and we went tooth and nail. Mm-hmm. Of course, the guard pulled in and caught us, you know. Mm-hmm. So right away, we were both dismissed.
Mm-hmm. Had you been around this woman or had any problems with her before that? Or?
I never even knew her. I never even knew her.
Right on the spot.
I never even knew her.
Uh-huh.
I may have seen her because she must have worked on the same floor, but she was in another section.
Mm-hmm.
And I never even knew her.
Yeah.